holiday, we like to attend Sunday worship. Even in other countries, through the internet, we can usually find an English-speaking congregation not too far away. When we were in Crete back in 2018, we attended a nearby church. The congregation consisted of the American pastor and his wife, their two children, the organist and her driver, and the two of us. So there were just eight of us there. The first part of the service was great. The songs, prayers, Holy Communion helped us draw closer to God in worship. And then came the sermon, and the pastor preached and preached and preached for over 40 minutes. The sermon was on that great and glorious prayer of Jesus in John chapter 17. But the sermon was such a dry and detailed exposition of it that we found it rather boring. Even if you feel the same about this sermon, I'm sure I won't go on for 40 minutes. In that long sermon, we heard lots of instruction, but it lacked inspiration. And we thought it wasn't any wonder that so few people were attending. Can the PowerPoint, is it ready for me to start? If you can move it on to past the video, or I can do that. And again, one more. And that should be ready for me, yeah. It's been said that those who focus too heavily on the Word of God can dry up, and those who focus too heavily on the Spirit of God can blow up. There needs to be a healthy balance between word and spirit. And Methodist Evangelicals Together certainly seeks to hold that balance and is one of the reasons I found it such a helpful organisation to belong to and to serve. And of course, that balance is there within our combined Methodist heritage from our Wesleyan roots. So our first key point is the Word of God. Within both Testaments, one of the words used for God's Spirit is also translated as breath and wind. In 2 Timothy 3:16, we read, "All Scripture is God-breathed." That means that God's Spirit has inspired the writing of the Holy Scriptures. And when Paul wrote these words to Timothy, they only had the Hebrew Scriptures, our Old Testament. Even though we may find parts of the Old Testament a bit hard going, Paul believed that it was inspired by God's Spirit. It may be harder to see the Old Testament, it can be much easier to see the New Testament as being Spirit inspired. But yet, both Testaments are inspired by the same Spirit of God. Paul's letter to Timothy continues, "All Scripture is God-breathed and is useful for rebuking, correcting, and training in righteousness, so that God's servant may be thoroughly equipped for every good work." The Bible's not an optional extra for enthusiasts. It's essential to help each one of us live as God's servants. It's key to helping us live Christ-like lives. It's in the Word of God that we discover his plan of salvation that comes through the death and resurrection of Jesus Christ. Those who turn from sin and to the Lord Jesus Christ are saved. Throughout human history, people have been turning away from God and from his instructions. From the time of Adam and Eve and through till today, people are turning away from the Word of God. Within my denomination, some preachers sadly give little attention to the Bible and are more likely to be proclaiming the ways of the world rather than the Word of God. In the next chapter in 2 Timothy, Paul warns about false teachers going along with the ways of the world instead of in accord with God's word. Sadly, there is much false teaching happening within my denomination. In 21st century Britain, people's actions and attitudes are being greatly affected by the media. And that's through newspapers and magazines, TV and radio, internet, social media, etc. There are lots of positive things about the media. It helps us to know what is going on near and far and gives us plenty to pray about. Today, with it being the Queen's platinum anniversary, the media are reporting lots of good things about the Queen and her reign, her willingness to serve her country down through the decades, and also highlighting how important her Christian faith has been all the way through. So yes, there's lots of positive things coming through the media. But there's also lots of negative things. Reading and hearing so much bad news can have a bad effect upon people. It can even lead to causing people to think that bad is normal and that evil is acceptable. There's even so many who would think of themselves as Christians, but they're living by the ways of the world instead of by the word of God, independent from God's word. What about you? Are you living your life independent from God's word or dependent upon the truths that his word reveals? John Wesley believed that Methodism was raised up to spread scriptural holiness. That's about seeking to live our lives according to God's holy word. Our lives as Christians should be distinctively different from the lives of those around us. How different is your life from the life of those around you? Yes, you come to church on a Sunday morning, but how different is your life the rest of the week? Laws made by the British government used to be very much based on Judeo-Christian values. But an increasing number of newer laws go directly against God's word. In the UK, an increasing number of Christians are facing opposition for standing up for their beliefs which are rooted in God's word. We live in Congleton. Our MP is Fiona Bruce, and she is a strong evangelical Christian. Currently, she is the special envoy to the Prime Minister for Faith and Freedom. I do wonder what conversations she's had with Boris over recent days, and hope and pray that she'll be able to speak some truthful and challenging words to him. But back in 2019, when Congleton held its first gay pride parade, she declined to attend. An editorial then in the local newspaper slated her for not joining in with that parade and criticised her for some of her Christian beliefs. She's been facing persecution, in a sense, from within her constituency. In John 15, Jesus spoke about us facing persecution and about the world hating us as it hated him. In 2 Timothy, Paul also wrote about us facing persecution. For the past couple of centuries, Christians within this country have generally been quite well respected. But times are changing. Jesus and Paul expected believers to face opposition, to face persecution. So we need to be ready to face it. Although we live in this world, we are called to be different to those around us. Not just different because we come to church, but different in how we live our lives. Jesus calls us to be in the world, but not of the world. And sometimes others will hate us for biblical things that we stand for. The living word calls us to live according to the written word. But if we just focus on the words of this book, it can all become very dry and legalistic. Going back to that dry sermon in Crete, a couple of days before, we'd been chatting to Ali, one of the entertainers at the hotel. I was praying and waiting for an opportunity to bring Jesus Christ into that conversation. So when Ali mentioned that he also worked as a life coach, I said that my work also involved being a life coach, and that immediately grabbed his attention. As the conversation continued, Ali expressed a lot of interest in the Christian faith because a close friend of his, who had been an atheist, had become a born-again Christian just a few years before. I had wondered about inviting Ali along to the church that we were going to attend. I'm glad I didn't, because I think it could have put him off Christ rather than attracted him to him. But yes, by itself, this can be a dry book. We need the Spirit who inspired the writing of this book to also be inspiring us. R.T. Kendall, a renowned preacher, wrote, "It is possible that one may have the full and undiluted word, but have the Spirit in less measure." This was the disciples' experience prior to Pentecost. So we thought about the word of God, and now secondly, the Spirit of God. In John's Gospel, there are several times when Jesus described the Holy Spirit as the Spirit of truth. He promised his followers that they would receive the Counselor, the Spirit of truth. And today's key words come from John 15:26. "When the Counselor comes, whom I will send to you from the Father, the Spirit of truth who goes out from the Father, he will testify about me." And we're going to briefly look at two phrases from that verse. The Spirit of truth, and he will testify about me. The Spirit of truth is the Holy Spirit, the one who inspired the writing of the Old Testament and New Testament. God's Spirit encourage people to record God's truth during that Old Testament era and in the first century AD. But the Spirit doesn't just lead us to the written truth of God. He also points us to God's living truth, Jesus Christ. From our Wesleyan heritage, we call this work of the Spirit prevenient grace. Pre means before. Prevenient grace is God's Spirit working within us before we became Christians. Yes, God's Spirit stirred up an interest within us about Jesus Christ before we got to that place of knowing him as our friend, our Saviour, our Lord. Going back to Ali in Crete, God's prevenient grace was working within him, stirring up that interest in Jesus Christ. Perhaps it was also God's gracious work which stopped me from inviting him along to that church with such dry teaching. The second phrase from verse 26 that we'll look at is, "He will testify about me." Jesus spoke about the Spirit testifying about him. God's Holy Spirit is the one who helps us understand that Jesus is the way and the truth and the life. The Spirit helps us to see how the written word points us to the living word, Jesus Christ. Yet within our Wesleyan DNA, we have that healthy balance of word and Spirit. Not to focus too heavily on one or the other, but to keep both in balance. R.T. Kendall writes, "It is by the Spirit that we receive the Word. It is the Word that tells us about the Spirit. They cannot be separated." I gave my life to Jesus Christ when I was 14, and soon after I joined what we named a mission band. It was like a handful of young people, and we would go around our Methodist circuit of 25 churches leading Sunday services. Because we were involved in leading services, we also went along to the quarterly lay preachers' meeting. On one occasion when I was 18, my friend and I turned up for one of these lay preachers' meetings and discovered that the secretary had actually forgotten to invite all the other preachers along. So it was myself and my friend, the superintendent minister, and the secretary. So not enough for a quorum. Wisely, the superintendent abandoned the planned agenda and instead offered to pray for us to be filled with the Holy Spirit. Have to admit, I didn't really know what he was on about, but because I respected him, I thought, well, if he thinks that's a good thing to do, I'm willing to go along with it. So my minister and the secretary placed their hands upon me and prayed for me to be filled with God's Holy Spirit. And I felt absolutely nothing. Although I wasn't initially aware of any change within me, a few weeks later, I realized that reading the Bible had come much more alive. And that when I was praying, it seemed to have a life to the, my prayer life seemed to have life to it rather than just being like going through a duty before. So looking back, I believe that God's Spirit did come upon my life in a different way, in a deeper way, as I was being prayed for, and especially in helping me to know Jesus in a much deeper and more meaningful way. Yes, the receiving the Holy Spirit changed the Bible from being a dry book to being a life-enhancing book. And all these years later, God's Spirit continues to speak words of life to me through his holy book. R.T. Kendall also writes, "What is needed is a remarriage of the Word and the Spirit, the simultaneous combination of both Word and Spirit in today's servant of Christ and the church." Earlier I mentioned that those who focus too heavily upon the Word of God can dry up, and those who focus too heavily on the Spirit of God can blow up. I now add that those who focus on Word and Spirit can grow up. Holding on to the Word of God and being filled with the Spirit of God helps us live effective and fruitful Christian lives in this 21st century. Jesus said, "When the Counselor comes, the Spirit of truth, he will testify about me." The one who inspired the Holy Scriptures wants to breathe life into the written word and lead each one of us closer to Jesus Christ, the living word. Amen.
Amen.
When I preach, I like to give an opportunity for people to receive more from God. You've spent several minutes receiving my words, yet what is the living God wanting you to receive from him today? I believe that he wants each one of us to receive, to experience more of his life-giving Spirit. So let's turn and pray for that now. Let's pray. Lord God, we are so grateful that you have given to us your Spirit-inspired, Spirit-breathed Holy Scriptures. In a similar way to breathing air gives life to our bodies, we seek to breathe more of your Holy Spirit into our lives. Holy Spirit, breathe upon us and help us to live Christ-like lives. Holy Spirit, breathe upon us and help us to face opposition and even persecution if and when it arises. Holy Spirit, breathe upon this congregation, inspire its life, and anoint its mission in this area. We pray in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. We continue along a similar theme as we sing our next song, Holy Spirit, Living Breath